welcome to the show. Great to have you here, Evan Bray, on this Wednesday morning. And I'm curious, what's more welcome news, waking up and hearing that snow is on the way tomorrow, or the details of the federal budget? Which, if you're picking, I know someone's probably saying this is like choosing between a root canal and an appendectomy. But nonetheless, both are realities this morning. Weather-wise, there is that possibility we could see some of the white stuff, whether it's overnight tonight or tomorrow. Much of the province on watch for that. Lots of budget talk today. Of course, we're going to break apart the federal budget that was presented yesterday afternoon. What are the main points? What are good? What are bad? What is worrisome? I've got some great guests today. We'll talk everything from the growing debt, the reduction of the public service, which many people were wanting to see in this budget, investments in infrastructure, investments in defense spending. And I look forward to hearing from you. We will open up the phone lines. I'll give you an opportunity to give me your grade on this budget. What would you grade this budget? Anything in there that you like? Did you like what you're hearing? And what about the conservative MP who dramatically announced yesterday he's leaving the Conservatives to cross the floor and join the Liberals? That gets the Liberals one vote closer to the guarantee of passing the budget. So open lines at 9, I know, is going to be interesting. And don't forget, coming up, we've got Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener at 11 o'clock. Let's get going. Here is today's big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The big talker.
Well, as I mentioned, the federal budget released yesterday, 2025 budget, just prior to the announcement. Of course, we've been waiting for, over 500 days for a budget to be tabled. And a lot has changed since then. Think about the last budget that was tabled, April 2024, under Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. So since then, we've had an election. The Liberals reelected with a new boss, Prime Minister Mark Carney. U.S., of course, saw a change in leadership, and then tariffs and trade and everything that has gone on in the last 500 days has been significant. So yesterday's budget was one, and we talked about this yesterday, where a lot of eyes were focused on the budget to see what was going to come of it. And as we start our exploration of that topic this morning, I wanted to bring on our friend Jason Childs, University of Regina, Professor of Economics. Professor, thank you so much for giving me the time this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
So, I was up relatively late last night trying to absorb the budget, reading documents, listening to interviews. I know you were doing the same. Maybe I'll just start with your take on this federal budget.
Well, to get the smart aleck out of the way here, I am so sick of buzzword bingo. I would really love governments of all stripe and at all levels to just present the numbers. That said, this is a big budget. There's a lot of spending here. We're looking at about 18-19% of, every dollar that's spent in Canada is going to be spent by the federal government under this budget. And we're looking at a really big deficit. So this is a big budget. There's a lot of money flowing around in here, and not a lot of really fine details.
You know, there's lots of talk. If you think about how, we spend our finances and manage our finances in our personal life, there's this talk between good debt and bad debt. Does that apply to the federal government? I feel like that's the narrative that they're pushing, that this this isn't debt, this is an investment in our future. Do you see it that way?
To a degree, yes. The idea is pretty sound. If we're actually buying assets that are going to generate meaningful economic activity in the future, then thinking about it a little bit differently than just spending one and done, it's gone, makes a lot of sense. The problem is always the case comes in the implementation. It's really easy and tempting for governments to stuff spending that isn't meaningful investment in the future into that budget and say, look, these are investments, and when they're never going to return anything to us. So, and we've seen some of that in this budget. If you go through the list of projects that are in there on page 103 of the budget, for those who are taking notes at home, you'll see some of those investments aren't really investments.
Like, give me an example, Jason, what you're talking about.
Community centers, things like that. They're nice to have. They're not a bad idea, but they're not investments. They're consumption spending.
Mm-hmm. Jason Childs is my guest. I feel like I'm in actually one of your classes because we're talking assets and liabilities and good debt and bad debt. Is that part of the strategy of Prime Minister Mark Carney? He's really making this distinction between the operational budget and the capital budget. Why is that?
Some of it's salesmanship. Some of it's going to be, you know, a little bit of the magic trick. Pay attention to my left hand while my right hand picks your pocket. Some of it is honest truth in reporting and financial numbers. Again, it's that distinction, the difference between types of spending and what we can expect it to do and whether that spending is a good idea now or not. We're not in a great fiscal position here. We're better than some. We're worse than others. And when you roll up the whole thing, you've got this problem of provincial debt, municipal debt, and federal debt all adding up to a lot more than what we're talking about. So even though we're in a little bit of a tough position here, you know, if there's an investment opportunity that is a real investment opportunity, it might make sense to go after that.
Mm-hmm. Jason Childs, University of Regina, professor of economics. The deficit, the growing debt is something that has obviously a lot of eyes on it. Lots of speculation before the budget came down what it would be. We know it's $78.3 billion. In fact, it's going to be $300 billion in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. That seems like a big deal. The amount of money, for example, that we pay to service the debt alone, at what point does the debt become problematic, or is it already, Jason?
I'm of the opinion it's already problematic. And remember, in the budget, a budget is an aspirational document. This is, if everything goes as exactly as we imagine it's going to go, then we're going to be $78.3 billion in debt. If we don't get the GDP growth we're expecting, or if we get some other need for expenditure, we're going to blow past that. And if you look at particularly the projections further out for the year after and the year after that, which you talked about with that $300 billion total spend, we've never hit that. This government has never hit those marks. So next year there will be something else come along, and the forecast deficit will be meaningless. The actual deficit that we'll see in the next budget will probably be larger. And at some point, look, we're seeing, you know, we need about a 15% GST by the end of what they're forecasting here to service just the federal debt. That ignores provincial and municipal debt, which is also going to have to be serviced. And that all that servicing comes out of one set of pockets, and that's the taxpayers of Canada.
And, you know, I hate the word servicing because it essentially implies to me that we're basically paying the interest we need to. We're keeping our nose above water. But, you know, we want to dig down. We want to get rid of that debt. So, we've seen federal governments obviously play a role in incentivizing economic growth. How do you see the approach that has been taken here by the Mark Carney government to do just that? Have they dug too deep, or have they maybe struck a balance that is probably where we need to be given the environment we're in right now?
It's going to come down to the details in a lot of cases. I don't think this hits the mark. I think what they needed to be doing was changing some of the legislation and some of the red tape here, rather than, you know, creating workarounds and throwing more money through tax credits at the problem. For example, there's big changes to the rates at which projects or capital investments can be written down. Now, that'll help. But if I'm worried about losing title to the property that I buy to build a factory on, it doesn't matter how quickly you let me write it down against taxes. It takes 6 years to get an environmental approval, it doesn't matter how quickly I can write down the capital expenditure once I start building. It's 6 years is too long, or whatever. You know what I'm trying to get at is that notion of, we've got all these other things in the way, and I haven't seen any movement on those other than this centralization of power in the PMO that allows you to bypass existing legislation and existing law.
Economist Jason Childs is my guest. You know, I think there's a lot of people that were looking for, and will still be this morning, watching and listening to news stories, combing through articles to see what's in it for me. I know even just in the newsroom this morning, people are saying, like, 6 months from now, am I going to notice a difference in my bank account? Am I going to notice a difference at the grocery store? I don't feel like that's the case. Do you agree, Jason?
I agree with you 100%. Just just for fun, one of the things I do with these budget documents is I just do a general search to find out how many times things like Saskatchewan appear. Total of 9 times over nearly 500 pages. And that's it. Right, so this budget is not targeted at Saskatchewan at all. The only thing that really comes up in any meaningful way is the agri-stability program. And other people have commented on that it's just not going to do what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm. There is, of course, some sector relief, some changes to employment insurance for those that are affected by tariffs. But I've said this before, and I'm curious to hear your opinion. I feel like that helps auto workers, but does nothing for farmers. Farmers aren't going and getting retrained to work in a different industry as a rule.
No, and you know, if you're working a farm out of Assiniboia or, you know, some more remote area of Saskatchewan, your local opportunities are really limited. It's not like you're in Toronto when you've got, okay, I'm going to switch from assembling cars to assembling dishwashers or something like that. None of these things help us. And what I find really aggravating is the problem with canola and China is, again, designed to protect those auto workers. And there's been no relief for us really in a meaningful way on that front.
I think the notion of if you're a person that accepts, okay, these are investments in our future, so it's short-term pain for long-term gain, essentially. Do we have a sense of the timeline on that, what we're hearing from government versus what the tipping point, the reality is when we start to see, obviously, things move from being in the negative to being in the positive?
Not in the time span of this budget. So we're looking 5 years out. They're forecasting a return to about 2% real GDP growth in about 27, 28. But I think that's wildly optimistic. I don't see these projects, once they even get started, once we get shovels on the ground, I don't see them paying dividends in terms of anything other than the benefit of construction in the next 5 to 10 years.
Often people will shoot a text in as I'm having a conversation like I am with you, Jason, and ask a question almost like, you know, they're joining in the conversation. And I've got a text here from Linda saying, I keep hearing debt to GDP ratio, although I don't completely understand. Can you give us just the Reader's Digest of why this measure is something that's important to follow?
Sure. It tells you how much we owe relative to what our potential income is. So based on this, in 26-27, these are numbers right out of the budget. This is the projection. We will owe 43.1% of everything that gets produced in Canada. That'll be our debt. So we have, if we didn't consume anything for nearly 6 months, we could pay off all our debt. And that's just at the federal level. When you throw in when you roll up all the provincial debt, that number is over 100%. So we'd have to eat nothing for a year to pay off all our debt.
I'm going to be opening up phone lines momentarily and asking, getting opinions from listeners, and I'm going to ask them if they would like to give this budget a grade. Have you got a A, B, C, D, E, F grade?
Again, without a lot of the details and having had more time, like this is a document I would love to have had a week to have gone through.
Yeah.
I'm thinking C minus. Yeah. This is it's a bit of a Hail Mary. I don't see, again, we're talking about $40 billion or so in, infrastructure spending. Well, that doesn't buy that much infrastructure. And we aren't seeing a real wind down or change in any of the underlying conditions, or not many of them. And that's what worries me more than the specific numbers.
Jason, I always appreciate having you on the program. Thanks for kicking off our chat today.
Thank you very much.
Jason Childs, University of Regina Professor of Economics. We're going to take a break, but it's essentially budget talk this morning. So what is your take? What is your grade? Anything in there you like? What worries you? And what about this guy who crossed the floor, the conservative MP who decided, you know what, I like your jersey better than mine, even though I was just elected a few months ago to represent this team. I know it happens all the time, but I'm telling you, it does not sit well with me. And I'm curious to know your thoughts on that as well. So lots to talk about with Open Lines coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Thanks again to Jason Childs, University of Regina Professor of Economics. Always appreciate having him on the show. Great way to start the conversation this morning, but you are how we will continue it. What did you make of the budget? What stood out for you? What's the one thing, if someone asked you very quickly, what stood out to you on the budget, what would you say? I think a lot of people are looking at that $78.3 billion deficit, but it could be something else. 1-877-332-8255. The texts are pouring in, including thoughts on this fella who crossed the floor from the Conservatives to the Liberals on Budget Day. That conversation with you coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.